is us like learning in public and like trying to
literally learning in public.
Yeah.
We were at Vancouver Public Library.
Yes.
There are glass doors. Yes. We are literally learning in public.
Pulling back the curtain of silence.
And learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala. This is Seen. Brown-eyed activism.
Healing at the intersections.
I've been really looking forward to sitting down and getting to, we've talked this week, but getting to really talk to you about how you're feeling, what's going on, and all of the things that you want to say to build the space with you where you can say all of the things.
Yeah, I mean, we're here. I'm surviving, like lots of Black folks, like all Black folks. We're here as best as we can be trying, and I'm going to try today. That's all I can say. I'm feeling exhausted.
Yeah. It's so much to be here to speak. I imagine it must be really overwhelming and difficult to even start to try to put anything that you're feeling and thinking into words and to not only put them into words, but then to say them publicly.
Yeah, I think it's, you want to cram in all the things, you want to make sure everyone knows all the feelings. It's like there's so much of what I'm feeling in my own body is bigger than myself. It feels like it's, you're channeling and you're being sort of a conduit of like this collective grieving, this collective anger, and a collective sort of just weight that we're all sort of shouldering as Black folks globally. And yeah, I think, you know, I'm happy we're having this conversation. I'm happy I get to chat with you. I can't promise that this will be as easy to follow as it usually is, only because I don't really know how to organize my thoughts in a way that is, it's not so neat and tidy to have these conversations, you know, it's, so today I really want us to talk about how we can care for Black people and Black communities, because that's what Black folks need right now is care and attention being placed on us. And yeah, I'm just making this my main priority in my business right now, you know, and that's reflected on my own personal needs because I think I need to be extra caring to myself. So yeah, I want us to talk about how we need to continue witnessing and naming what we're seeing and feeling and experiencing as Black folks, that entire spectrum of emotions, and what it means to care for Black folks through exhaustion and our pain and our frustration and our betrayal and feeling gaslit and feeling so much anger and then perhaps offer from just, you know, my own personal needs, what I think Black folks can really stand to benefit or gain from other people being now so fixated and focused on Black Lives Matter is how can you put those things that you've been posting online, hopefully, into action? What does that look like? So yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking of us talking about today.
Yeah, and I just wanted to thank you for bringing that lens to what we're talking about of caring for Black people and communities, because I think one of the things I love the most about what you bring to the podcast is the just wholehearted love of Black people that you always express. And I think it's so, so important and needed in this moment. And I'm so grateful to you for bringing that. And I also just want to say that, you know, you said it might not be as easy to follow as usual. And I think that is so reflective of where we are. And if we made some like super easily digestible, easy to follow episode, I feel like it would be lying in a way because it's just so not what this moment is.
Yeah. I think the multiplicity of what everyone's feeling is like, that's part of the work that white people need to do right now is wading through that messiness, that inability for, because what I think a lot of people want right now is to be able to download information to make them not racist.
Yeah.
Like I think people are, so anyways, before we get into that, you know, so we're going to talk about some of the things that I've witnessed Black people talking about this past week, 2 weeks, our whole lives, but really just in this mm-hmm. time frame of so much work and so much attention on fighting for justice for the killing of George Floyd, rest in power, the killing of Breonna Taylor, rest in power, the killing of Bruce, like, rest in power, because there's just so many people. So I want to talk about exhaustion, pain, like I said, frustration, betrayal, feeling gaslit, anger, and just start off with just acknowledgement of this need for respite for Black folks, and yet we are the ones who are, you know, doing so much labor and so much work right now, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to offer this because I think sometimes, lots of the times, non-Black people are like, well, I don't know what it's like to be Black. I'm learning all these things. I'm feeling empathetic. I'm feeling like white guilt. I'm feeling all these types of big feelings. And those are good things to feel. Those are good things to sit through. I think the humanity of Black people is lost on so many non-Black people. Sometimes it's even lost on Black people themselves. So, you know, Black folks are not only hurting from watching violence be inflicted on people who look like us, we're now witnessing all of y'all finally opening your doe eyes open to the violence that's always been happening to Black people. There's this very real frustration of like, what took you guys so long to give a fuck about Black people? It's so re-traumatizing, as you can imagine, to see the number of people who have harmed you in your day-to-day, in the microaggressions of your life, feign wokeness now. Like, I think there's this sort of, we've talked about performativity and what that looks like, and not wanting to fall into the trap of like doing things for the sake of social media and falling into this like virtue signaling trap of like saying the right things, but like not doing anything. And, you know, Black people are re-traumatized from your feigned wokeness. We're re-traumatized as we leave our houses and we're having, you know, white women aggressively smile at us. Leave us the fuck alone in public right now. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that you've now understood and tapped into the fact that we are fully sentient human beings that are worthy of respect and acknowledgement when you walk down the motherfucking street. But let us be. Please. I think there's a lot of like unprocessed grief and rage and trauma that a lot of Black folks in, I'm going to say, Vancouver and Canada, in places that we don't have quote unquote civil unrest right now. There's so much percolating. And I know that people are trying right now and they're trying to do their best. But I think at the center of this, all this trying is like, you need to know how we're feeling. It's important for non-Black people to witness and to understand the complexity of emotions that Black people are experiencing here and now, so as to not continue the same patterns.
It must be just so infuriating, not only everything that's happening, these latest murders and the horrific violence, police brutality that's then happening in response to the murders. You know, it's just like this endless cycle of anti-Black violence. But then also to see all of these people who, you know, never showed up before, suddenly trying to show up. I just imagine it must bring up so much like grief and rage of all of the things that haven't been done before that should have been done.
Yes.
And
yes,
like just how not enough it is that people think they can show up now and insert their feelings like, oh, I just want you to know that now I'm like.
Exactly. It's, yeah. You know, and you're saying like what you're talking about is this feeling. It feels like a betrayal. It's, you know, there's people who are telling the world that they believe that Black lives matter, but in their actions on a day to day basis, they've been anti-Black through and through. Mm-hmm. So there's this level of gaslighting that has been as insidious as the white supremacy that exists in this city in BC, which, you know, people think we're really welcoming and open and multicultural and all this stuff. And so when you have that as the framing for a place, it's so easy to skip to like the, oh, I didn't know. Now I know. I'm going to be better now. And it's like, I really want white people and non-black people to sit with the reality that you've known all along about what has been going on, but you've chosen to do jack shit until right now. You know, you've witnessed it before. You haven't said or done anything. You've gaslit us before. You haven't said or done anything. And these things were happening at your job, on public transit, when you walk down the street, when you go to the grocery store.
That's just such an important point that you said, that you want us to sit with the fact that we have known, because there's nothing that's happened now that hasn't happened a million times before and been in the news and been talked about by Black folks and others as well, you know? So there actually isn't anything that's different now. For whatever reason at this moment, there's a lot more resistance happening, but we don't have more information now than we had at any other time. And so I think I just wanted to like repeat what you said, because it's so important that non-Black people, we need to be dealing with the reality, admitting to ourselves that we did know this all along, and looking at, okay, so why haven't we been showing up then? Like, if we're doing something different in this moment, and I mean, most people are, right? We're doing something different. We're showing up more, or we feel more of a call or a responsibility. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, why is that? Mm-hmm. And looking at that in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I watched this IGTV video by Sonya Renee Taylor, and I posted it to my Instagram. We'll post it, if we haven't posted it yet, to the Scene Instagram. But anyways, Sonya Renee Taylor posted this video on why talking to your white family about Black people is the wrong approach. And I encourage everybody to watch it. She is talking specifically about this like white preteen who's talking to her parents about Black people and about how Black people are oppressed and all this stuff. And her parents are fighting her, like, you know, refuting everything that she's saying, telling them that they don't want to hear it. And she's this girl has filmed it. I think it's a TikTok video. And she's gotten a lot of, you know, public praise or whatever for daring to talk to her parents about this. And I, you know, Sonya talks about how this is, you know, it's good. You're a teenager. You're doing the best you can. But the most important thing and the most powerful thing that Sonya talks about in relation to that video is white people need to stop talking about Black people and start talking about themselves as white people and about white supremacy and about whiteness and about their ability to be so complicit and depraved to allow these things to happen. And Sonya's talking about, like, yes, you need to be reading the books. You need to be understanding the histories of Black people and Black oppression. But it's important to also understand that when we're talking about systemic, like, racism or systems or any of this stuff, and as Sonya says, she's like, it's not this amorphous blob. Who do you think these systems were made for? Who made those systems? People who look like you to benefit you made these systems. So when you're talking about anything, when you start to fix your mouth to talk about Black people, stop that. Instead, talk about why it's taking you so fucking long to get here and sit with that reality of like, wow, how have I been able to, like, we always talk about white supremacy is like the air that you breathe. How have I been breathing this air for so long? I didn't even know that this shit was fucking toxic to me too.
Yeah, and it's like what you were talking about, I think, in our last episode, where you were saying we're not marginalized, we've been made marginalized. It's not, yes. You know, Black folks, they don't inherently have a problem, right? Like, we are the problem. Like, nothing, it's, we talk about things that are happening to Black people. It's like, okay, but who's doing those things?
Exactly.
Right? Black people aren't doing anything. It's non-Black people who have created and perpetuate this problem. And I think, you know, you mentioned non-Black people of color, something that I thought was really important. Desmond Cole said on a podcast with Pam Palmater, he was talking about, you know, white people are doing this. And if it's not white people, it's people who are beholden to white supremacy. You don't have to be white to be beholden to white supremacy. And so I think that's what non-Black people of color need to be looking at in ourselves, is what are the ways that we've bought into white supremacy, whether it's because we feel like if we play this game, maybe we're seen as a little bit better, or we'll have like a little bit of an easier time? Or is it just our own internalized colonialism and hatred of ourselves that comes from our own traumas? Or what is it exactly? But we need to be looking at what are the ways that we are playing the game of white supremacy, or answering to white supremacy, or feeling like we still need to somehow jump through the hoops that white supremacy is telling us to jump through, because we're part of this problem too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And in that reflection that non-Black people are doing, I think it's really important to think about yourself when you're processing. But when you open your mouth to speak about these issues, to really make sure that you're not talking about it in an abstract way. I want you to personalize this to yourself, right? I think it's so like anything, you know, once you learn about something, you're like, you can't unlearn it. And I think so many Black people have non-consensually been the site of somebody else's learning. You know, we're the people that you follow around in stores, and you accost us, and you tase us for jaywalking, and you underprotect us while in high school, and you stick us up while walking home from playing basketball with our friends. We are the people that you have ostracized at work, silenced us through assertions of power, you know, that are all but dog whistles of your ability to corral us, contain us, restrain us, all that type of shit. Like, so many Black people in Vancouver and beyond have been the one and only in the room, in your boardroom, in your classroom, in your living room, in your public bathroom. How have you done us then in those interactions that you think are so mundane? Because I want to say there's something weird about the fact that I'm getting, and a lot of Black femmes, a lot of Black women are noticing this level of visibility that we now have in navigating our cities and just being out in the world from other white people. So it's like, you knew we were there the whole time, and suddenly now we have, what is this thing that we have that now makes you need to compliment us for the dresses that we're wearing, or our appearance, or whatever? What is this? Like, what are you doing? Why do you feel like, why, what is going on? What was going on before? I don't know if this is even making sense. I'm just trying to say, like, it's really fucked. It fucks with us a lot. It gets us really fucked up to have the same people who have been doing the very least, pull an entire like 180 and are all about the Black people right now. We're having all these like protests, and I think a lot of people are like sipping this Kool-Aid, like, yeah, we all band together, look at the turnout, like, look at all of this. And it's like, okay, cool, thank you for turning out when we say Black Lives Matter. We weren't trying to like persuade you of that, right? We knew that Black Lives Mattered. So now, after you've gone to this like protest, what are you doing in your day-to-day? Make that shit stick.
Yeah, it just reminds me again of you saying that non-Black people need to be looking at and talking about ourselves in the appropriate venues, of course. Mm-hmm. But when you're saying, you know, all these people who are doing nothing and now they're suddenly like aggressively smiling at you, or they're showing up in your comments or your DMs, like trying to show how much they supposedly care, it must feel like, you know, this isn't really about me. I've just been like over here living my life the entire time, and you're, you know, suddenly having this different reaction. Like, that's about you. And it just reminds me too of this thing about optical allyship. It's like, are you actually looking at yourself and looking at what you're doing and figuring out what you need to be doing to really fight for Black lives and Black health and Black well-being and all of those things? Or is it about, I want that Black person to think that I am?
Exactly. There's a lot of people who say hi to Black people who don't do anything to make sure that Black life matters. There's a lot of people who would be like, yeah, like, you know, I said hello to this Black woman yesterday and that was good. But like, they wouldn't even go so much as taking any risks to make sure that Black woman and people who look like that Black woman are safe in their own communities. like, it's like, and we were talking about this before, I've been talking about this all week, it's like, what risks are white people taking? What risks are non-black people actually taking? I don't, like, it's cool that you want to share black-owned businesses. Like, thank you for your dollars. But, like, if that's the only way that you think you can affect change, you're not doing enough fucking work, man. That's not enough. You can't just pay away your fucking white guild. You can't pay that shit away. You need to be doing work looking at you. And you can send us the Venmo, too. That's nice. Run me the check. But also be doing the work for yourself, because, like, otherwise, it, like, the problem still exists. You haven't once interrogated how your whiteness has allowed you to live a life unchecked and unbothered by anti-black racism, by anti-black violence, by anti-black murdering.
Yeah, and that's where I think people need to be really honest with themselves about what exactly do you think you're doing? Who do you think that you are in this? Because if you think that you are anti-racist, if you think that you're showing up, if you think that you care about Black people, then you need to be answering these really hard questions. You need to be risking something more than the approval of your racist friends. You need to be actually doing a lot of soul searching and sitting with a lot of guilt and shame and uncomfortable feelings. And if you're not, I think it's important to be honest about the fact that you are complicit with anti-Black violence, with white supremacy, and don't, you know, get on social media and posture and, you know, post your receipts for the money that you're giving. Right? Like, that's performative. And if you're actually trying to do more, then you need to be answering these hard questions. So I want people to be honest with themselves about who they actually are in this, you know?
Because I think at the end of the day, like, Nolan and I have been having so many conversations about, like, at its core, somebody had asked me a couple of days ago, like, what is Black Lives, like, is like the organization of Black Lives Matter, like, you know, who runs it? And I'm like, this shit is a movement. This shit isn't about, like, a fucking charity, like, tax deductible receipt type shit. This is a movement that literally, apparently, dares to say that Black people, our lives are important enough to exist and to stay, where Black people can stay alive. That's what it means. It's really simple. And at its foundation, it's like, and I posted this on my own Instagram, and thanks for reposting it to the Scene podcast. We're not arguing, like, I'm not having any more conversations with people anymore about Black Lives Matter. If I even have to guess that, if I even have a little bit of suspicion that, you know, I don't know if this person's even going to so much as risk posting a little motherfucking black square on their Instagram. If I'm not sure about you, we're not friends anymore. I just can't. Like, there's so much that the world has expected of black people to give up. And we are reclaiming our time and our ability to, you know, we're just reclaiming what's ours. I don't even have the words for it. And I apologize because I'm feeling like I'm literally running on fumes right now. But I feel like we only have been just now realizing the things that we've black people have been talking about since jump. And like, that in of itself is so much hurt. We know we've talked about on the podcast, like, about appropriating black culture. We talked about in our hip hop episode. We talked about white femininity. We've talked about, you've been talking about a lot of these things. And so I'm hoping that people who have been following along for the past like year, the dots have been connected this whole time, so that they're not like, wow, like, this is all the things that Nick is saying right now is just fucking mind blowing. I hope that you're not mind blown. If you're mind blown, ask yourself why the fuck you are mind blown. I really want everyone to, like, because black people aren't able to navigate the world unaware of white people. So how come you as a white person have been able to operate and navigate the world unaware of black people? Where is that? Where is that depravity in you that you have been okay with that?
And I think what you're saying is so important. I mean, when we started the conversation, you were saying you want to talk about caring for black folks and what black folks really need right now. And it feels so important what you just said about reclaiming your time, that you don't have the time or energy to waste on people if you have to guess if somebody's for you or not. That feels like such an important foundational element of caring for yourself, is just protecting your capacity and absolutely refusing to spend any energy on people if they haven't made it abundantly clear what their values are and where they are in all of this.
And that's what it is. It's about values, Lala. It's like, is it that controversial to believe that other people who don't look like you are worthy? I don't know. Like, I think that's really fucked up that white people still have to debate that. I think it's really fucked up that, like, white people still think some of this shit is a joke, or like that black people in like Canada shouldn't be talking about Black Lives Matter, or that we don't have systemic racism or any of that. Like, how much energy are y'all going to put into the delusion of white supremacy? You sound fucking foolish.
Absolutely. There's been so many, so many incredible black activists and scholars and thinkers and artists and just regular people, like everybody who's done the work to document the anti-blackness of Canada. And any Canadian that wants to deny that, I mean, you're just choosing to live in delusion, right? So at a certain point, it's like the Toni Morrison thing of racism just stealing your time and keeping you distracted from your own work, because I mean, people have put out incredible, you know, Policing Black Lives is a great example of a book that documents and lays out all of the state violence of Canada. Yeah. So
pick up Robin Maynard's book, like, read it.
Yeah, there's nothing to talk about there. Like, why would we still have that conversation?
And I think that's what a lot of the exhaustion is for a lot of black folks right now, is like, we have been saying this shit. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it would be different if, like, okay, we're having a whole like health pandemic right now, right? Like, this is a new thing that a lot of us are like, whoa, like we're producing new, we're having to create like new medias to like respond to the cultural global phenomenon of like having to be at home all the time and like mindfulness and all this shit. You know what I mean? Like, we're generating net new shit for this health pandemic called COVID-19. For this pandemic that has been black genocide and indigenous genocide, we've been writing about this shit since we taught ourselves to write in your fucking language. So white people are gonna have to do a lot more to impress me. If I don't know if this is gonna motivate anybody. Maybe there's a Michael Jordan in you that's like, okay, like, if that's Nicole's like barometer for what I need to do to like earn her respect, let this be it. Like, but you're gonna have to do a lot more to impress me than repost some shit. Seriously.
Absolutely.
If you think for one second, I was talking to Nolan about this yesterday. I was like, I really hope the white people figure this shit out before climate change starts to smack all of us for real, because there's another pandemic coming. I'm like, you know that, like, are white people waiting for like a black like person to save them? Like, are you guys waiting for like a Nelson Mandela or like a Malcolm X or like someone to like rise from the ashes? Nolan's like, maybe people are waiting for like Obama to like come back to office, like for, you know, the states. I'm like, I don't know what you guys are waiting for. I don't know what it is, but stop it. Get to work now. You're already late for the party. The food is fucking cold, and we've fucking torn everything down already. So now it's your turn to clean the fucking mess up. Because we didn't plan this party. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a level of like responsibility that people need to be assuming of just how they're like showing up in the world. And I don't know how to, you know, we always talk about, I don't know how to teach people how to care about others.
Yes.
I don't. Do you?
And as I mean, as a therapist, I feel like kind of, but still not really. And I mean, and I think what is really important too is that it's not your work. I can remember going to some BLM workshops a few years ago where a couple of the amazing young black people who put on this amazing workshop, and then at the end of it there were white people raising their hands and saying, so what do I do now? And I said at the time, I was like, you know, they're very busy. Like, they've been planning this protest and this work, and they're putting on this workshop. Like, they have so much work that they're already doing. Really, we can't ask them to also do our work and figure out what we need to be doing, right? Because something we reposted on our Instagram account that we'll end up putting in a highlight, because we'll do a highlight for resources for this episode. Mm-hmm. It was about mapping roles in social movements.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, everybody has a part to play, and it's different. It depends on what your capacities are, what your strengths are, what your gifts are, what resources you have. And then matching that up to what's needed. That's very difficult work. And like, nobody can do that for you.
Right.
So we can't be asking Black folks to be not only surviving all of the systemic violence and interpersonal violence aimed at you, and then also doing our work for us. Like, absolutely not. That's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. We're tapped out. And I think I'm like, shout out to Black people, shout out especially to Black femmes and Black women, because we don't sleep. You know, in the conversation of, you know, what Black folks need and how we care for Black folks, it's like acknowledging the physical manifestations of all this shit in the bodies of Black people. Mm-hmm. Right? Like Erica Gardner, mm-hmm. she died fighting to make sure that her dad had justice. Like, there's health impacts in our actual physical bodies, right?
Absolutely.
And I think, like, how when we're talking about how we care for Black people, how we care for one another as Black folks as well, it's like, yo, we need spaces away from all of you guys. We need spaces away. Mm-hmm. We need spaces for Blackness. We need spaces to affirm us. We need funds to process the trauma. If you want to support Black folks with coin, give us resources for mental health supports, for, you know, physical mm-hmm. therapy, for the medicines that we need, because we're really developing ulcers these days. And a lot of this is being shouldered. Like, I will say this, and I heard Amanda Seales, you know, say this before. This movement right now would be nothing if not for Black women and Black femmes. And we need to be really centering the voices specifically of Black queer folks in this fucking movement. I'm so sick, and I'm not having any more conversations with anybody about Black Lives Mattering, but we're not having conversations about transphobia or homophobia or any of that shit. We need to mm-hmm. do better, like, for real, and center the most marginalized of us. Cause a lot of us have privilege. I have privilege, and I'm a Black queer woman. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think in the conversation of how we take care of ourselves, it's like understanding the just physical needs that we have, just the community that we're not able to tap into, a lot of us right now, with living in a pandemic that is disproportionately killing us. You know, we need sustained pressure, and we need sustained pressure on our local governments to make changes to ensure that Black folks and Indigenous folks become protected, become able to thrive and flourish. Because we've never had that. And another way that you can care for Black people at this time is to, when we say that shit has happened at this establishment by this person, there's no more conversations with y'all about whether this person is a redeemable one. Canceled. It's done. Y'all need mm-hmm. to have our backs, like, for real. Mm-hmm. You know, I had asked white allies to get up in my DMs. I had asked white allies to get up in my DMs because I needed them to handle a situation wherein I saw just horrific things being posted by a white man on Instagram. And I, you know, drafted this, like, this is what you need to do as a white ally. And the situation has been handled. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. But I think it's really important for white folks to be making it their business of trying to put themselves in the position, for once, of thinking about, how do I navigate around Black people now in a way that gives them dignity and respect? and shows them that I care in a genuine way, in the way that they want to be cared for. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I'm feeling like there could be a lot of people, I wouldn't say the word is infantilizing us, but like, there's a paternalistic energy that's coming from people who were like, you have to endure so much. It's so hard for you. Of course, like I've already known that. It's annoying that you were just realizing that, because I've been talking about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. But thanks for acknowledging my quote unquote superhuman strength. It's like, you know what I mean?
Realizing.
Like, yeah. Like
but that's its own anti-black.
Yeah.
That has been. Yeah,
exactly. And I feel like if you're listening right now and you're like, wow, Nick is just fucking raging right now, I can't do anything right by her. It's like, yeah, you're right. Like, actually you can't do anything right now. And like, I don't give a fuck. Still keep on fucking up and doing the work. Like, black people aren't going to hold your hand through any of this shit anymore. The training wheels are off. Go. Ride the fucking bike. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm so grateful for the Rachel Cargills and the Ijeoma Oluwos and the people who are able to take the time to educate people in an accessible way. God bless these sisters. Like, seriously. But like, we're not all, I don't know how to hold your hand through this. If you want to fuck with me, if you're trying to grow yourself as a person to become a less fucked up human being, that's the course that I offer. That's how that conversation is going to go. Like, you need to start building up that toughness, that thick skin, that get that callus up, because we're not coddling any, like, we're not interested in the white tears. We're not interested in non-black people of color centering themselves in this conversation. We're really fucking not.
Yeah. And I think as non-black people, we have to realize that because of how much we're exposed to anti-blackness, we need to do a lot of work to come back from that, to like unlearn and unroot that from deep within ourselves, because it's preventing us from showing up for black folks in the right ways, because it's distorting what the situation really is, and it stops us from accurately perceiving what's happening or offering care in the right ways. So, you know, you said some people might be listening and thinking that you're raging or feeling, you know, like they can't do anything wrong. And I would say to non-black people, like, we need to be engaging with black voices and ideas and perspectives that make us feel angry and defensive and guilty and ashamed. Like, we should be deeply uncomfortable with ourselves, and it should be making us question ourselves. And if we're not, then we're not going far enough. And we need to find more voices that maybe we would consider quote unquote radical. And then we really need to look at, we need to look at why that is. So if somebody saying like all cops are bastards, if that's upsetting to you in some way, or if you feel like, well, that's going too far, or, you know, God, well, that's not really true, or that's not helping your cause, or whatever it is, you know, instead of deciding, well, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. No, stop. If you're angry, if you're defensive, if you're guilty, if you're ashamed, you need to dig deeper and stay with that. Stay with that idea. Right?
Yes. Like, yes.
That thank is the you, path. Yes.
No, that's like, thank you so much for saying that. Cause like, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I actually don't know what to say. Like, I don't know how much more creatively black people can articulate these things, you know? Like,
well, and actually, like, I was wanting to maybe shift a little bit, because it's not your job to tell non-black people what to do or to like convince us to like care about other people or lay out to us what our work is. So I wanted to shift a little bit and ask you, what is helping you to care for yourself and other black people right now? Like, I know, you know, everything is so overwhelming. There's so much, and you need to care for yourself. So I'm curious, what's helping you to, you know, have boundaries and care for yourself and recharge and rest and all of those like really, really essential things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been working on just keeping better track of how my engagement on social media has impacted my body and how I feel when I'm on social media and how I feel, like checking in with my body, like that sort of has been so essential, because for so many of us, it's like your phone is becoming an extended part of your hand and you're feeling this obligation to be so plugged in. So it's been like taking time away from my phone, leaving my phone at home when I go out with my partner, accepting care when people are extending care. It's really hard, I know, for a lot of us to allow people to take care of us. And this is one thing that I will say is if you are interested in extending care to a Black person, if you're like, hey, I want to buy you dinner, or, you know, I want to do something, I would recommend stating what it is you want to do for that person, or not, and not just saying something like, hey, I'm always here, just ask me, because we're not going to ask you. We're not, mm-hmm. unless you're extending a specific a thing or service or word or whatever. It's going to be thanks for the offer, I appreciate that, and we're going to keep sort of trying to care for ourselves in isolation. So that's just a tip. But yeah, I've also been trying to, I'd be lying if I said just sleep better. I'm like, I'm not trying to sleep better. I'm kind of like, there's no rules anymore. Like, I feel like my house is messy. I haven't been eating as good as I should. I've been like, not going outside as much as I usually, you know, used to, like, because I'm just kind of trying to avoid interacting with people. but one thing that's been so amazing and nourishing and awesome is just connecting in any way, shape, or form with other Black folks. Honestly, mm-hmm. I love Black people even more than I ever thought I could. I just, the level of, we care so deeply for our people. And I think a lot of us have a lot of work to do when it comes to expanding that love to all of our people. But like, no one makes me laugh like Black femmes and Black women do. Like, no one makes me happier, and no one, like, just, yeah, like, online has been equal parts traumatizing and terrible, but then there's these nuggets of just sheer joy in DMs between literal strangers. You like find someone somewhere and you realize that you're just like going back and forth laughing at some fuckery, because we're really all just laughing at fuckery. Like, a lot of Black people are like, we're laughing because we got to find some joy. We got to find some little nuggets of goodness. And I would really encourage every Black person listening to take the time to cultivate pleasure right now. It seems so like the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. And I know you might feel guilty about it, but we can't be having strokes and heart attacks because of these white fucking people. Like, we really mm-hmm. cannot be, like, they can't take that away from us. We need to be able to hold on to our health and hold on to like some things that give us joy right now, because there are Black people in the future and we're trying to get there. Right? Like, we're not trying to, like, we're not martyrs. And I think that's the biggest piece is like, Black Lives Matter is really about Black life mattering now, not in the future. Mm. It's like, okay, if Black lives matter now, if all Black lives matter now, how do I facilitate Black people being able to thrive? That should be your mission. That should be our missions. How do I facilitate Black people to thrive? And then how do I do that on like minute to minute as a Black person? That has been the hardest reframe for me, because I'm like, I'm trying to fight all this thing. I'm like not eating. I have no appetite, all this shit. And it's like, am I really trying to let these fuckers kill me? Because am I going to fight these people's, like, this is y'all's fight. Mm-hmm. Again, I'll say we are not marginalized. We are made marginalized, not by amorphous blob systems, but by people who continue to pull the levers in the systems that they have created or have been created to benefit them. So let's allow, let's encourage, let's facilitate, let's make it our business collectively to make sure that Black lives, all Black lives, are able to thrive now. Not later, now. No one's coming to save us. White people, no one's coming to save you from this. You need to do the work. And I have no BIPOC of the week. Honestly, I'm like, it's everybody. We're all trying. Like, I thank you for this list of like Desmond Cole. Yes. Robin Maynard. Yes. Like all these people who like are doing rad shit. But it's like the BIPOC of the week is the black person who has made it to this point in time. You've survived.
Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you.